This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast. It's the monthly audio magazine which offers education and training for football referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. I'm a level 5 referee affiliated with Somerset FA. And this is my mentor, my hero, the love of my life, as I said on many occasions, PGMOL assessor Richard Mellon, who is also, as I've said, my mentor. And he's an FA tutor as well. Sorry, he's throwing me a bit because he's just writing things down and throwing them in front of me as well. Rich, hello again.
That's what you do when when we're live.
Yes.
Hi, Darren.
So
Hi.
Anything goes on this.
Hello, everybody.
First time listening, welcome. We hope you enjoy what you've been listening to in the past. And basically, our methods around this is basically to try and teach you a few things, and hopefully you can take some stuff away from it and learn from it, as well as pick up some good news and maybe share your experiences as a referee, no matter how young or how old. And we'll start with Rich's ramblings, which is how we tend to start things these days, because we've got quite a bit to cram in today.
Yeah, there's a fair few things to cover, but I don't want to dwell on them too long. But listening to the podcast, we hope that you enjoy it, because that's what we're about as well. Wherever you might be, walking a dog, in the gymnasium.
In the shower.
In the shower with a pair of earphones.
Something like that, yeah. Radio turned up loud, iPod up loud.
Yeah.
So, Rich's ramblings, what are you going to be rambling on about?
Well, recently I did a game as a match assessor. And one of the unusual facts that came out from it was there was only 11 free kicks in the game. What I want to say here is the prior knowledge of both teams was supported by the fact that we knew them well enough to sort of predict how they might approach the game. And true to form, I see both of these teams on a fairly regular basis, and they played each other. And I made mention of this to the referee. I said, look, the normal format of how these teams play, having seen them in different areas, different games, is that they will try and get the ball down. They will try and play, and they're doesn't appear to be any aggressors in there. Now, it was competitive, don't get me wrong. When I use the word aggressor, I do mean that someone who's going to sort of boss the game and be a little bit sort of a rogue in terms of tackling and getting stuck in. But that wasn't the case on this occasion.
Is this the game that you were going to the day after I spoke to you on Saturday?
It was.
Right, okay.
It was. Yeah.
So I'm just trying to get a picture now.
Yeah, yeah. So 11 free kicks. The referee played two advantages, nice and clear, nice and simple, no risk. The field of play was a really, really good field of play.
It's a lovely ground.
Yeah, and the two teams wanted to play. The ball was down, the game was at a fast tempo throughout. We had goals, we had incident, we had foul enjoyment. And I will say one thing, not seen very often, but the second goal for the away team was applauded by the home team spectators.
Wow.
Sat around me. The chest pass by the guy who made the pass in the centre circle, passed it 8-10 yards from his chest, didn't land, but intentionally he played it off the chest from a pass by another colleague to another colleague. The lad took it, went through and scored.
Great.
Super. And the other thing, just to bring this back to reality.
So you don't need to be watching a game in the Premiership to get that standard of football, do you?
No, not necessarily. You know, the difference in the standards is obviously player ability, first touch, movement,
fitness,
movement with the ball, movement off the ball, fitness, all those sorts of things. But the sort of, what can one say? What brought us back to earth was, although there was only 11 free kicks in the game, two advantages were played, which would have been another two if he decided to stop, there were 5 penalty decisions to be made. Either they were or they weren't. One was correctly given as a penalty and 4 was correctly given as not a penalty in a game like that. So
okay.
Ramblings.
Yeah.
Ramblings. You know, just you know, not a typical game. Not a typical game, but one that, I'm pleased to have been there to witness.
And he, by the way you were describing about it, the referee in question obviously had a good game.
He had to gauge his level of involvement because sometimes the average foul count is around about 27, high 27, maybe 30 free kicks a game. But as I said, this game was just 11 free kicks. The ball went out of play, of course. There was an injury, of course. You know, the other typical things that you constantly see. But like I say, for that particular one game, 11 free kicks was just so unusual, you know. And it was just a sheer pleasure to be able to sit there and consume the whole event, and very enjoyable.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referee's World podcast. Don't forget, you can listen to us online, refereesworld.co.uk, or on iTunes, just search out Referee's World and then you can download the episodes. We'd really like to encourage your involvement as well. Previous podcasts, you might recall Barry Rosen from Stockport RA came on, gave us a big in-depth chat about what they're doing to help make their RA a success. But what about yours? How can you add to this? Let's create and increase the size of this Referee's World community. So still to come in this episode, for those that have looked at the website, you may have noticed that we've had a poll running on the homepage as to who you think is having the best season so far. Now, we're talking about select group referees here. Now, we're going to give you the results of said poll on the episode today because they were quite interesting. That's to come as well. And we've got some details about a refereeing conference in Ireland, which is taking place early 2015. That's to come as well. Yeah. Rich.
Also going to, I want to say to you, if I said to you, let's do, our training topic's going to be left, left, left. So that we're going to have that as our training topic and talk about left, left, left.
Okay.
Some of my other ramblings, I recently did...
God, he's like an old woman.
Yeah, I know, I know. But we also did a training session with our assessors recently. And that's where the left, left, left bit came into it, which surprised me because some of our colleagues within the assessing part of referee development weren't aware of what left, left, left means. Now, we're going to have a little session on this, and
why would they not know that? I mean, surely all the same rules come down from the top. So why would certain people not know about it?
Because I don't think they've been possibly attending RA meetings, assessor meetings, tutors, updates, all sorts of things. But the tutors, I would expect to be able to talk about movement of left, 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 positioning within the basic training of referees and the whys and wherefores of why we do that sort of thing. So we're going to discuss that, and you're going to go, you're going to be my stooge as usual, and we'll come back with that.
Rich is very much Yoda, and I am very much the Jedi trainee here. That's all to come between now and the end of the episode. Right, let's continue then.
I've got a couple of tweets to mention here.
Yeah.
And a discussion about the incidents that have been highlighted. I'll be very careful here because I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, but our colleague that has tweeted us is a Dutch referee, and that's his, I think, his tweet identity or Twitter identity, Dutch referee, Jan ter Hamsel. Hi, Jan, and thanks very much for your tweet this afternoon and sending me the, I think it was a YouTube clip of this assistant referee where the game was stopped. The assistant referee was on the field of play. I don't know what was actually happening, but the camera was fixed on the player all in red, the player all in white. There's a big crowd watching this game of football, and it had been stopped for whatever reason. The assistant referee was stood beside these two players. The player in white walked beside and beyond the assistant referee, turned round and pulled the assistant referee's shorts down.
Retweeted it. Okay, you've got to watch this clip. It's an absolute corker.
So, I mean, having seen that issue happen, I was asked what should be done. So, despite laughing, Darren, because let me say to you, it is funny. However, there is a serious side to this, and that's what we want our referees to understand. Darren's looking at this now online, and you know, the player all in white clearly walks behind the assistant referee and pulls his shorts down to his ankles.
It is very, very funny. It is, and it is, as Richard said, it's a big game somewhere. Don't know much about it. For me personally, I would have laughed along with everybody else on the field of play, with everybody else in the stadium or the ground where the game was being played. But I would have had to get the red card out to the guy that pulled down the trousers.
Yeah, you would get the red card out.
And
you are obligated to do that.
Whether that's a bit harsh, I don't know. Let's look at some of the comments that have been made on that actual post.
Oh, right, okay,
Julian Dugard says, straight red card, none touches me at all, equipment included, fair enough. Stephen Green says this is a technical assault and a serious case of misconduct. So somebody else who I guess would show the red card.
Okay.
So I think we're all kind of in agreement.
Those lads that have been online looking at it straight away have responded correctly.
Yeah.
It's not acceptable. As funny as it might be for the 20, 30, 40,000 people watching and all those that will see it around the world, that's not acceptable from a player to do that. And rightly, he should be dismissed if that's happening.
It's an interesting match incident, though, to be discussed, isn't it, at your local RA meeting or such like, or even on the podcast.
What happens if?
Yeah, exactly.
And this is not one of those when it happens. This has already happened.
Yeah.
It's there. It's on YouTube. I don't know what the clip is, but like I say, it was sent to me on Twitter. I had a look at it. Yeah, okay, I had a smile like everybody will. But in the refereeing world, that's not acceptable and we wouldn't expect players to be doing
interesting
that.
To see what was happening here, because look how far on the field of play the assistant referee
there's no
is.
Markings, is
no,
it?
No, none at all.
No markings.
He seems to be
but,
quite well.
But clearly, you know, there's a large crowd watching a game of football, wherever it is, and the player did what he's done.
Oh,
so hopefully he was dismissed. If he wasn't, then he will be dealt with by the authorities, no doubt about that. But if it happens to any of our listeners or, you know, else, further the field, those people that don't listen to us, hopefully they'll take the appropriate action.
This is the Referees World podcast.
Now, let's move on. Still to come, we've got the results of our random survey that we did.
Yeah.
Which was quite interesting.
Quite interesting, too. Yeah, it was interesting. I've got a little addition to that, Darren, and I'll tell you that in a minute when you give the results out.
But I wanted to tell you about, if you haven't already picked up on this on Twitter, there's a refereeing conference taking place in Ireland. Now, you can pick up more details by going to the website, which is refereesconference.com. We've been speaking to a guy called Connor. Who's been organising this whole thing. Refereesconference.com. Now, from what I can gather, looking at the website, we were going to speak to Connor tonight whilst we're recording, but the night in which we're recording this, the Ireland-America game is on, USA game.
And England versus Scotland
on. So while that's all taking place, we're recording the podcast, such as our commitment to you. And Connor is at the game, so he can't be with us tonight, but we've had a quick look through the website. Your questions answered. Let's just read what it says on the homepage.
Yeah.
Your questions answered. Why should you attend? Improve your skills. Get an update on the issues affecting the modern referee. You can expect talks from excellent speakers. There'll be discussion sessions too, as well as time for Q&A sessions, normally during the breaks as well. The day will run from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. on the 10th of January, and you expect at the end of it to be quite tired. However, inspired. I like that.
Mm.
Why are you being charged for this? Well, it's a not-for-profit event and all the money raised goes to the organisation as well, and hopefully you can benefit from it. What you'll need to do is literally go to refereesconference.com to pick up all the details or follow them on Twitter.
It sounds very interesting, you know, because it's covering the whole spectrum of sport, isn't it?
Yeah, and Rich has got a list now of some of the guest speakers that will be appearing at the conference as well, so you might want to take a load of this.
Yeah, we've got Disciplines of Decision Making by Alan Rolan, who's a Rugby World Cup final referee in 2007. Then Setting Your Goals as a Modern Referee by Jerry Duffy, who's a runner of 32 marathons in 32 days.
So they're going down a full-on inspirational route here. It's
absolutely.
Not, you know, it's going to open up all sorts of areas.
Yeah, there's seven areas that they're covering here. And refereeing an intense game, a roundtable discussion with Q&A involving David Coldrick, who is a Gaelic All-Ireland football final referee with Alan Rulan. They will do a forum there, obviously. Now, that would be very interesting because Gaelic football, All-Ireland football, is, for me, I think is a bit of madness. But it's fascinating. Yeah, but it's fascinating to watch.
It's like Australian
rules
football.
Oh, my word, those guys are tough. Yeah, they are tough.
What is all that about?
Oh, mad, absolutely, it? Absolutely. It's almost like playing hockey off the ground. That's how I look at it.
Random.
You know, because very rarely does the ball touch the ground. But, you know, they do hit that ball some yardage, and I'm hugely impressed by it. And so that I think that would be interesting. The highs and lows of being a top-class referee by David Coldrick. He's going to talk about that. Bouncing Back by Mark Halsey. Mark Halsey is currently youaretheref.com, a former Premier League referee and described as having survived the scares of cancer. And Mark, we send our best wishes to you if you're listening. And at some stage, we'd like to have a chat with Mark when we get the chance. So that will be an interesting one called Bouncing Back with Mark Halsey. Devising a Tactical Approach, which is another roundtable discussion involving Alan Snoddy. Now, Alan Snoddy, I know, is an Irish referee who did the World Cup finals in 1986 and 1990. Now, he'll be sharing duties with Mark Halsey, and they will be doing Devising a Tactical Approach. That will be interesting as well. So that's another workshop that looks quite interesting. Oh, and I've just seen that a gentleman by the name of Barry Kelly, who's a hurling All-Ireland final referee, he'll be there with them. Then Staying Focused, a Practical Concentration Strategies for Referees by Professor Aidan Moran, Professor of Cognitive Psychology, former psychologist to the Irish Olympic team.
So 10th of January is the date if you're interested.
Mm.
ReferreeConference.com is the website where you can pick up all the details.
Yeah, the Master of Ceremonies to finish off for the and host for the day is Bob Hartnett, founder and chief executive of Sport for Business. So good luck.
From grassroots to the World Cup. This is the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
It's the Referees World Podcast with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon. And before we finish, as promised, let's do the results of the survey that we've been running on the website, referreesworld.co.uk, as to which referee, which select group referee, do you think has been having the best season so far? Okay. So we put a big list of all their names, and it was down to you to go and click and vote. So here come the top five in reverse order. First of all, at number five...
Well, we got joint people at positioned at number five. Andre Mariner, Jonathan Moss and Craig Pawson.
Jonathan Moss has had quite a lot of good games because I've been listening to various radio stations and commentary, and his name always seems to come up. In one way or another. So he's
due to injuries of other colleagues on the list and resignations of colleagues on the list, then this has put the onus on those within the group that are fit and able to referee. Mm. So consequently, you will see a lot more of these guys that are not regarded as household names.
I was going to say, there's a few referees that are not household names.
It probably takes 2 or 3 years with TV coverage for the guys to become household names. Mm. And I want to say household names for good reasons, you know, but they do get highlighted for errors because they cannot be 100% totally correct during these televised games on TV. But their decision-making rate is well into 90%. I think it's 95% accuracy of decision-making. That is fantastic. In fourth position, Anthony Taylor.
Okay.
Well done, Anthony. That's quite pleasing on this poll. Third, surprisingly, and I'll explain surprisingly why in a while, third on that list of having a good season, Lee Probert.
Okay, and I'm laughing because I know why you're saying that, surprisingly. Okay.
So moving on.
Lee, congratulations, by the way.
Congratulations. You've had a cracking season.
Yeah, brilliant. Good work.
He's had a cracking season.
Second place,
and going well, having a good season, no doubt about that. Michael Oliver.
He's had some very good games. Oh. He's had, and clearly, before we announce the number one choice, I think it's fair to say, a very good second place. And based on how the voting went, okay, because we monitored this over a few weeks, based on how the voting went, there was a point where he could actually take over.
Yes,
at one point.
Because I suppose the profile was being seen more often, and consequently, when people see the positive profile and the positive decision-making, then obviously that creates a theory of he's refereeing really well, and I think he's having the best season so far.
And he's still very young, isn't he? He's still in his 20s.
Oh, yes, late 20s.
Late 20s,
Michael,
so he's got a long, long future ahead of him.
I just hope,
providing he stays fit and he sticks to
and the body and the body stays as active as it possibly can, because the stresses that these guys put themselves under is immense. Mm. And, for me, Michael is, no doubt about it, he's going to be a top, top, top referee.
And number one, before we announce the winner, are you surprised by this or did you expect that when we posted the...
No, I expected this, to be honest. If there has to be someone top of the list, then I think this is a fair comment. Because, like I say, if I was on the list, I'd want to be top. But of a list of 18, I think is that's the number on the select group. Of a list of 18, someone has to be top, someone has to be bottom, because that's the nature of what the merit list produces. But Mark Clattenburg is listed as number one currently. And that's, what's the date today? 18th of November. When did you close this poll, Dan? A couple of days ago?
It's still online. It's still there now, but we'll close it off. Now we've announced, obviously, the winners of this particular poll and do another one on the website.
Should we do it again, say, January?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. It'd be interesting to see what the changes are.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of football between now and the end of January.
As you can see, we're making up the podcast as we go along tonight.
This is how we do it.
This is how we do it.
So currently...
What was interesting, I noticed, was for the first few days, Mark Clattenburg was way, way, way ahead. I think he had something like 52% of the vote. And then all of a sudden, Michael Oliver started to really creep into the picture.
Well, Mark on our poll actually gained 24% in total, closely followed by Michael, who got 21%. Mm. And then third place was Lee Probert, who got 10% of the vote.
Now, the interesting thing about this is the reason why we're coming back to it.
I want to question my colleagues out there who have voted for Lee Probert. Now, everybody knows that I'm a close friend with Lee and have been for many years. Now, let me just advise one or two people who weren't aware of this. Lee has not refereed since the FA Cup final. Due to injury. How does he get 10% of the vote of a referee having
That's
a good
hilarious.
Season? Come on, lads.
That is
go on.
Hilarious. Well, listen.
You're entertaining us.
Yes, good work. And that's the way it should be, if we can all entertain each other. Okay, that's just about it for this episode of the Referees World podcast. One thing that we forgot to do, because we've been rambling on way too much, is left, which we haven't done. So what we're going to do, we're going to keep you hanging on, okay? We promise that the start of the next episode... Okay, which we're going to start recording straight after this, will be left.
Yes, we will. Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, if you've got any questions for us or you've got any potential ideas, please share it with us by coming through the website, refereesworld.co.uk.
The download is complete.